It is good to be back. We had our scripture reading this morning from Psalms 119, 33 through 44, and we're going to continue reading in the 119th division of the book of Psalms. And if you will, mark your Bible there. Our text is taken from verses 129 through 136. We know that God's word is the direct, gives us the directives for our lives. And this is what the psalmist was directed by the Spirit in this location and several others, as we read earlier, to pen for our well-being. In this particular place, Psalms 119, 129, beginning, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Deliver me from the oppression of men or of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant, and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes, because they keep not thy law." We've just returned from a necessary trip to Jacksonville, Florida. Along the way, there were certain places we needed to stop. That's, I think, true in every trip. You can't drive 7 or 8 hours without stopping for something. You may need gas. You may need water. You may have other necessary stops. In our case, stops are necessary for lodging, food, a suitable place to get out and stretch your legs and relieve our backs, and that sort of thing. But also, while visiting family and checking upon those that have health issues, we had specific addresses to which we needed to travel. And I'm not familiar with that area at all. So I used a GPS. We've all used them. Imagine undertaking such a journey and making all those stops without GPS or without at least a map. While there's probably still be wandering around looking for the place. And, as I'm prone to do, sometimes I'll mix up numbers, and I'll plug it into the GPS wrong. And we were wandering around on another part of town and had to call someone, or the other end of the highway. But our text is about the GPS that God has supplied for man. His word is his map. His map for us. And it provides direction. And we should always allow God's word to direct our lives. For those who do not know it, GPS stands for Global Positioning System. I mentioned it in the article today and learned some things about it, and I had no idea that it requires 4 satellites, and I guess it triangulates on the little thing on top of your car, the transponder, so it can tell you exactly where you are at any given time. But God's word is global. It is for whosoever will. And it is to position us so that we will know where we are in relation to where we would like to be or where we ought to be. God's word is his system for supplying all the direction that we need in order to live a godly life, in order to carry out God's plan to take his soul-saving message to all, and his directions to prepare us to spend eternity with him. The psalm from which our text is taken and which we will spend some time in this morning is all about the word of God. From this text, we've already seen that God's word gives us direction. I want to notice verse 133 specifically. "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." If indeed we allow the Word of God to order our lives, in other words, if we walk the paths that God has laid out, heaven this way, perhaps we will not allow iniquity to have dominion over us. What happens is, when we fail to use God's GPS for humanity, we allow ourselves to veer from the path. We allow ourselves to become involved in sin. We allow ourselves to yield ourselves to something other than His Word. Let's study the text, and we'll go through it some, to see where God's Word gives us direction. Where is He leading us? God's Word gives us direction for our soul. I'm not going to go back and read the text because I'm going to refer to several different verses along the way. But we find this in the portion that we read earlier, verses 129 to 131. Our will, verse 129 tells us, therefore doth my soul keep them. You know, we must keep God's Word because they are wonderful. But in order to keep those words, in order to follow God's GPS for humanity, we have to want to. We have to have the desire. We have to mold our will. You know, you can take a GPS on a vehicle, and unfortunately I did this. The directions weren't quite clear, or I wasn't paying attention or something. But I had to do one of those, go down to the next exit, turn around and come back, and then get on the right road. I wanted to, but I had to follow the directions, and I had to follow them properly. And if followed properly, guess what? I got on the right road in the right direction at the right speed and stay out of everybody else's way, and we made it home safely. We've got to make it our will to follow them. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, we find prime biblical truth, and not everyone is going to heaven. If you listen to people in conversation, if you watch TV shows and that sort of thing, and there are people who die on TV, of course it is make-believe, but the concept and the idea put before everyone is that everybody's going to heaven. The Bible disproves that, and God's GPS for humanity will show us how to get to heaven. Jesus, as He was speaking during the Sermon on the Mount, said, Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And we know the context of this thing. He was speaking to those Jews who would soon see the coming of the kingdom, and those who came to Him and said, Lord. There were many people who came to Him and said, Lord, or teacher, teach us or show us, or they did so in a mocking fashion. Not everybody is going to enter into the church for which Jesus died. Not everybody is going to follow God's directions to the heavenly abode where we're trying to arrive. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, we find inspired information as to how one can know if they know God. We also should be aware that we either know Him or we don't. You can't kind of, sort of obey God. You either obey God or you are in disobedience to God. Notice, we have control of our words. We have control of our actions. We have control of the direction that we're going to take by to whom we yield ourselves to. And this particular passage tells us, and hereby we do know that we know Him. In other words, this is the proof that we know Him. If we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and His truth is not in him. It is important that we need to understand, if the truth is not in us, if we're not being guided by God's GPS for humanity, we're on the wrong path. We're headed in the wrong direction. We're going to end up at an undesirable destination. God has provided those for us that we might change our will to align with His will. And in order to do that, we have to use our intellect. Look at verse 130. Back in our text. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the people. You know, our minds are always to be receiving information. And as we receive information, we adjust ourselves so that we can remain on the proper path, so that we can continue to be understanding of what God's will is, and we will have the light of His Word to guide us. If we are wise, we will seek that which gives us understanding of what is beyond this life. We need to be aware of the fact that beyond this life, there's one of two places we're going to go. And there's a GPS for both. The things of the world will lead you to that destination. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And it tells us at the conclusion of that, that the world and the things that are in it will be burned up, be destroyed. But we need to follow what God has given us so that we might arrive at where He is. God's Word gives us this understanding. And if you'll turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 3, we see that it's speaking of the all-knowing God whose plan is the GPS for humanity. There it is told that in God, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We should be seeking that wisdom. We should be seeking that knowledge. We should desire to know the Word of God so that we can live in accordance to it, follow the path that He has given us, so that we can end up where He is. And turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Some people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. It's a mystery to me. It's no longer a mystery because God has spelled it out. He tells us where we are. He tells us how to know where we are. And He also tells us how to get onto and remain in the path that He would have us go. This one-time mystery had now been made known by Christ and by the Word of God. It's available to everyone. God gave humanity the faculties to learn His Word. He gave him the faculties to learn His will. He gave them the option of choice to decide whether or not he will do the will of God. It's made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Without the gospel, we wouldn't know the plan. We wouldn't know how to follow it. And so God's Word is the GPS for humanity. We also seek direction for our soul, our will, our intellect, but also for our emotions. In verse 131 of the 119th Psalm, the psalmist uses language to describe deep desire. Emotions are important. They are part of us. They are who we are. But emotions will not save us. It will not guide us correctly. You know, I could feel like that I was on the right road. I could feel like I'm doing the right thing. I could feel like I'm serving God properly. But what are those feelings supposed to be based on? Not how I feel, but what God has directed. It should be the desire of every rational human being to go to heaven. The psalmist longed for God's commandments because he loved them. He said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. How important is the Word of God to us? Why, if we were to put you in a car and say, I want you to go to XYZ place, such and such address and everything, and then you reached over and hit whatever button is designed for that, and that unit had been taken out, you think you'd make the trip okay? You think maybe you'd feel like you'd get there all right? We've got to keep our emotions directed toward God and His Word. God created man with many emotions, but the pinnacle of our emotions is love. Do we love God? If we love God, we're going to love His Word. We're going to look to His GPS for humanity. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40, Jesus answered the Pharisee that was questioning Him, trying to tempt Him in such a way that He answered in such a way that none could be angry about it. None could question when the man asked, which is the great commandment? Because the great commandment was the same thing in the old law as it is in the present law. It has been the same throughout humanity. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. It's been my experience, it's been my observation, I guess I should say, that those who really love God will naturally love their fellow man. They will desire to be on the path that leads to God, but they will also at the same time desire that their fellow man be on that same path. You stop and think about it. It was God's love that brought his plan into fruition to save lost souls. It is to be our love for him and his commandments that calls us to seek him. So God's word gives us direction for our soul. God's word also gives us direction for the problem of sin. We saw that in verses 132 through 134. In that text, he says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me. There's not a soul on the face of the earth today of the age of accountability that does not need mercy from God. And if you look through the scriptures, you'll find that God is merciful to those who love him, those who want to serve him, those who love him to the point that are willing to turn and do what God would have them do. We are told that his wrath will also be taken out on some, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we find out that it's not by our power or by our righteousness that we are saved, but by God's mercy toward us. None will be saved except through the mercy of God. Titus, as Paul was writing to him and the Spirit directing Paul, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration. Regeneration means being reborn. Generated was when we were born. Regeneration is when we were reborn. And that's talking about baptism and renewing of the Holy Ghost. One is regenerated when they are baptized into Christ. This is when God's mercy is applied to the penitent soul. That's why in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Lord added to the church those who were saved, those who had become saved by being regenerated. Jude verse 21 tells us what we need to do to remain in that state of mercy. In other words, to remain on the right path, to remain in a proper saved relationship with God. And in that short book, we have a lot of verses that every one of those verses is important. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. When you stop and think about it, how else can you remain in the love of God but by following his GPS for humanity? God's word, if used properly, according to verse 133, will help prevent future sins. We all sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But verse 133 of Psalms 119 says, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Notice what the psalmist was directed to write there. Not that I will not sin, because he knew he would. He had. And as long as he lived, it was possible for him to sin. But let not this iniquity have dominion over me. Let it not control me. Here's a thought to ponder. Future sins don't exist for us if we don't do them. Future sins only become present sins when we participate in them. And we prevent sin only by following God's direction. In Psalms 119 and verse 9, if you'll flip back a page or two, we see that how a young man or a young woman, or us old folks too, can cleanse our way. That means apply the preventative from sinning. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. We must read it. We must know it. We must follow it. As you look down to verse 11 in Psalms 119, we can see the means by which anyone can prevent future sin. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You ever done something and you look back on it and you say, I knew that was wrong. Why did I do that? You don't have to shake your head or raise your hand or anything. We all have done it. If you say you've not done it, maybe you ought to rethink that. But how would you like to not do those things? You do those things and then just afterwards, or even when somebody brings it to your attention, I knew that was wrong. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. If we have the word of God in our minds and in our thoughts and we're meditating upon it, we're less likely to sin. That's what he's saying here. And God's word, his GPS for humanity, helps us in this. It also, believe it or not, helps us deal with the sins of others. Look at verse 134 in Psalms 119. Deliver me from the oppression of man, so will I keep thy precepts. Now, before anybody objects or when it gets the wrong idea and everything, we can't control anyone else. We can't control what they do. We can't control their lifestyle. We also cannot repent for them. They have to do that themselves. But God has provided the means whereby one can be delivered from the oppression of other people's sins. How? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, as we return to the Sermon on the Mount, we see that Christ spoke words that provide the formula that would help us. It's known as following the golden rule. When I stopped and thought about it as we were in the traffic, following the GPS to the desired route, there were some people who were driving in such a way to imperil others. If they were simply to think, how would it affect them if others were driving that way and they were trying to follow the path and to follow the laws and follow the rules of the road, how much more pleasant, how much more harmonious would such a trip be? If more people would follow this, what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12 properly, the world would be a better place. And perhaps more people would seek God's GPS, his word, for salvation. Jesus said, therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matter of fact, I think if we look back on our own lives, especially those of us who were perhaps reared in denominational homes or homes that didn't care about religion or something of that nature, we might think about it, you know, we are so appreciative of those who said to us, let me introduce you to the gospel. They might not have used those words. They might have said, why don't you come to services with us? They might have said, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about the condition of your soul or however it came about. We should deeply appreciate these people because they were on the road and they wanted you to be on the road. You see what they were doing? They were applying the golden rule. And they, no doubt, would have appreciated it when they were off of the road, off of the path, for someone to guide them, direct them into the path. Previously in that same sermon in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15, Jesus taught these folks that they must love as well as forgive others. But if we won't, we needn't expect God to forgive us. This is the golden rule in application. Jesus said, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know, the Jews that Jesus was speaking to that day, they needed this. They needed to apply this in their life. Why? So they would seek the kingdom. So they would look for God's GPS for humanity. Then they too would have been baptized into Christ. Their sins would have been forgiven. And the problem of sin has been addressed. But while we travel, whether it be a spiritual road or a physical road, We got to have the right attitude. You know, our sins can be forgiven, and if we march off, leave the baptistry, and change clothes and go home and have the same attitude that we had before, we're likely not to get very far. Matter of fact, we're likely to get lost on the way. But we have to have the right attitude in our service to God, in our dealings one with another, in our dealings with those of the world. Look at verses 135 through 136 of Psalms 119. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. Rivers of water run down mine eyes because they kept not thy law. We want God's face to shine upon us, meaning we want to be in God's favor. This means having God's blessings in our lives. We know that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, according to the Ephesian letter. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26, we find God speaking to the Israelites under the Old Testament law. We see in verse 25 a passage that prompted someone to write a song. It says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." What was their peace? Their peace in that time under that law was the freedom from oppression of others and possession of the land of promise. What is God's blessing in our life? To be his child, to have loving, dedicated brothers and sisters, to be traveling God's path. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I've already alluded to it, but we find there the application in the New Testament for this. But it's only applicable to those who apply God's GPS and follow his directions therein. There are a lot of people think about being in Christ. They don't understand that being in Christ means having been baptized into Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So those who are obedient, obey the gospel, they become in Christ. But we've all got to remain on the road that he designates so that we can remain in that proper relationship. The GPS says recalculating. In other words, you're off the path. Let's get you back on the path. Let's get you going where you need to go. And if we don't have the right attitude, I know where I'm going. I don't need that. Let's turn that thing off. I know the path here. We're liable to find ourselves off of the path and continuing to go away from where we wanted to. We've got to have the right attitude toward God, but we've also got to have the right attitude toward sinners. Look at verse 136, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. You know, we should be sad for the sins of others. How many Christians have not shed a tear because of those in our families, those we love, those we hold dear, have allowed themselves to either not take the road to heaven or to be on the road to heaven and then somehow exit and go back toward the world? Look to Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. We're going to see that God has no joy when the wicked die. Now, someone might think, well, you know, this person spent their entire life, they didn't serve God, they didn't listen to him, they wouldn't read his word, they wouldn't hear when his faithful servants came to him and told him that they're traveling a path to danger, and they refused to hear it. And some might think that God would say, well, it serves you right. But that's not the case. God is a loving God, and he wants all souls to be saved. But there's something important. And everybody needs to know this. God has designated a specific path. And those who will not follow that path, he will not save. God knows that when these folks die, their soul is lost forever. Ezekiel tried to tell Israel this. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? How many times did God recalculate for the Israelites? He said, no, you're in the wrong place. Come back this way. Even to the point sometimes that they had to separate themselves from those they had joined themselves to in opposition to God's law. But we have a choice in what we do. We have a choice in which path we take. And God's GPS, his word, provides the path for all to take. In Acts chapter 26 and verse 29, we find inspired desire of Paul, how he wanted everyone to be. He had the opportunity, as had been foretold, to stand before kings, to preach the gospel to places far and wide, to stand before Gentiles and preach the word of God. And as he stood before the king Agrippa, he said to him, I would to God that not only thou, but all those that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Because Paul heeded God's GPS. He listened to the word. When Ananias came and told him, now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized. He didn't say, I got this. I know where I'm going. What did he do? He was baptized into Christ. Ananias came to him for a couple of reasons. One was that he might receive his sight. But secondly, to tell him what to do, to become a child of God. In other words, here's the on-ramp, fella. You need to get on it. And you need to stay on that path. Paul was bound. He was a prisoner. He had been forced to appeal to Caesar. And no doubt, wherever he went, and we have account after account after account, it didn't matter if he was in his own hired house, it didn't matter if he was in prison, it didn't matter if he was standing before the king or a visiting dignitary. What did he do? He preached the word of God. He had the right attitude. He had the attitude toward sinners. He did not want to see any of them die. Spiritually, he wanted those who were dead spiritually to become alive, and the only way to do that is to follow God's GPS. God's word is that GPS. It gives direction for my soul. It gives direction for the problem of sin. It gives direction for my attitude. But if I refuse to receive or accept the direction, or fail to consult the map or the GPS, I'm likely not to be headed in the right direction, and I can't make it to the desired destination. For everyone, the desired destination should be heaven. To do this, you have to be directed to the right path. And then you have to stay on that right path. A lot of times people don't know how to get on the right path. It is very important that they know. The gospel plan of salvation is extremely simple. It is so simple that none should have any trouble understanding it. It has been laid out, it's been broken down. We found the passages that apply to it, and it cannot be denied. One must first hear the word of God. In fact, while Jesus was here preparing his people for the kingdom, he said in John 6:44 and 45, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. That's where the obedience begins. You hear the word of God. You see the GPS saying, here is where you get on. Then you must believe. What must you believe? First and foremost, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Everything hinges upon that. And that's what 1 John 5:5 says. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. Why? Because they began believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and they followed the rest of the steps of the plan of salvation to get on the right road. What are the other steps? They must repent of sins. Acts 17 and verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Turn away from that old path, that old life, that life of sin. Confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then they must be baptized into Christ. Again, Jesus Christ speaking in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Speaking of that which at that time was still in the future. After his death, burial, and resurrection, after he took that blood sacrifice back to the Father, then the Spirit was poured out upon those apostles, and they then commanded people. But Jesus gave them a little glimpse into it. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. He might very well have said, if you don't get on the right path, you're going to be lost. That's what that basically says. And then one must remain faithful unto death. You know, you can get on the right path, but if you don't stay on it, you're still going to go somewhere else. And that is so very true. If we get off of the proper path that God has designated, we're going to end up in a destination we do not desire. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. It's so sad that people need a number of different things. It is kind of funny, and it does apply. We had one GPS going because we wanted to stay on the right road headed toward home. But I had Linda look it up on the GPS on the phone. There was an app for that. Find me a restaurant. I'm hungry. And so she found one, and we followed her GPS. And then when we got there, we paused the GPS until we got finished eating. And then we started on that. We got right on the right road, no problem. And then we made it home safely. Those who do not follow the Lord's GPS will not make it home safely. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, we find two things going on here. The Christian's responsibility toward those who have gotten off the right path, and their responsibility to get back on. In meekness instructing them that oppose those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In verse 25, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. How? Through repentance and prayer. They already belong to God. They're just not listening to his GPS. And they can, if they repent and return to him. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. So many times when the church meets, there are none there who have not obeyed the gospel. But it is quite possible that there are those there who are not following the Lord's GPS. They need to come home. They need to return to God. And they need to do so in accordance to his plan. We're going to stand and we're going to sing the first and third verse of the selected hymn. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you please come?